QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for November 15, 2017. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. And I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you Major Department of Defense Exercise Held, Mars Amateur Radio Local Components Active, Spotlight on Vermont Emergency Management's RACES Program, Case Study, Aries-MAT Mutual Assistance Planning at its best in Oregon. Mesh training held in Utah focuses on emergency disaster communications. And K1CE for a final, first contact. But before we start with the stories, here are some Aries briefs. Skywarn Recognition Day, Saturday, December 2nd. Skywarn Recognition Day, or SRD, will take place this year on Saturday, December 2nd, from 0 hour until 24 hours UTC. That means it starts on the evening of Friday, December 1st, in the U.S. time zones. During the Skywarn special event, hams will set up stations at National Weather Service, or NWS, offices and contact other radio amateurs around the world. Participating amateur radio stations will exchange a brief description of their current weather with as many NWS-based stations as possible on 80, 40, 20, 15, 10, 6, and 2 meters, plus 70 centimeters. Contacts via repeaters are permitted. SRD was developed jointly in 1999 by the NWS and ARRL to celebrate the contributions Skywarn volunteers make to the NWS mission, the protection of life and property. Amateur radio operators, which comprise a large percentage of Skywarn volunteers, also provide vital communication between the NWS and emergency managers if normal communications become inoperative. 2018 Broadband Summit. APCO's 2018 Broadband Summit will be held May 1st and 2nd in Arlington, Virginia. The annual event provides a forum for technology experts, policy leaders, industry partners, wireless service providers, and public safety professionals to discuss timely issues affecting the deployment of the FirstNet nationwide public safety broadband network. APCO International is made up of emergency medical, law enforcement, fire, and other public safety communications personnel whose primary responsibility is the management, design, maintenance, and operation of communications facilities in the public domain, and has been an ARRL partner association since 1996. Add a Red Cross first aid kit to your Go Kit. Get training. A first aid kit is a must for any Aries member's Go Kit. You may buy one from the Red Cross store online at https://www.redcrossstore.org. And Red Cross store is all one word with no spaces. And I'll repeat that URL. It's https://www.redcrossstore.org. And Red Cross Store is all one word with no spaces. A Red Cross first aid kit would make an excellent gift this holiday season. You may get Red Cross training in CPR, first aid, AED use, and basic life support, or BLS, at your local Red Cross office. The American Red Cross and ARRL have been formalized partners since 1940. Before we begin with our first story, we'll take a short break to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for November 15, 2017. Now, here are this month's ARRL Aries E-Letter stories. Major Department of Defense exercise held. Mars, amateur radio local components, active. The U.S. Department of Defense, or DOD, conducted a communications interoperability training exercise November 4th through 6th, simulating a very bad day scenario. Amateur radio and Mars organizations took part. The exercise began with a simulation of a coronal mass ejection event impacting the national power grid as well as all forms of traditional communication, including landline telephone, cell phone, satellite, and internet connectivity, according to Army Mars Program Manager Paul English, WD8DBY. During the exercise, a designated DOD headquarters entity was to request county-by-county status reports for the 3,143 U.S. counties and county equivalents in order to gain situational awareness and to determine the extent and impact of the scenario. Army and Air Force Mars organizations were to work in conjunction with the amateur radio community, primarily on the 60-meter interoperability channels, as well as on HF-NVIS frequencies and local VHF and UHF non-internet-linked amateur radio repeaters. Madison County, Florida, Aries conducts ExerciseNet. As an example of a County Aries program's participation in the DOD's COMEX 17-4, the rural Madison County in the Big Bend region of Florida, Aries Group, conducted a net on the Lee repeater on Saturday, November 4th from 9:34 a.m. until 9:40 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, asking check-ins to provide real-time current conditions when responding, to simulate collection of infrastructure status and damage reports from as many counties in the coverage area of the repeater as possible. A net was also conducted on the UHF Statewide Amateur Radio Net, or SARnet, from 9:40 a.m. until 10:15 a.m. during that same time period to gather county reports from other parts of the state as indicated. There are 67 counties in the state, and it was a goal to see how many were able to report via the system net and amateur radio. After the exercise, Madison County EC Pat Lightcap, K4NRD, commented, "On our local net, we had information provided on Madison, Suwannee, and Columbia counties. Then I went to the UHF SARnet and acted as net control to get responses from as many additional counties in Florida as possible. Representatives from 16 counties reported the status of their infrastructure." Mr. Lightcap added, "We had not announced the net ahead of time and simply began it with only a preamble to explain the information that was desired. After calling on each of the 67 counties, I ended the net at 10:15 a.m. and sent my report for forwarding to the DOD. This was an exercise to simulate the assessment of the national infrastructure after a strong and destructive solar storm." How SARnet works. SARnet local UHF repeaters throughout the state are connected by a microwave radio network operated by the Florida Department of Transportation. The key to why SARnet works so well is that instead of using the internet, it uses dedicated bandwidth on a private microwave network. When an operator keys his radio and talks into his local repeater, he automatically talks through all network repeaters throughout the entire state. The network voice radio usage models that the Florida Department of Transportation, or FDOT, is trying to investigate are short, efficient communications between users. Thus, long rag chews are not appropriate. During long conversations, an operator is activating SARnet repeaters all over the state for an extended period of time, subjecting all to them. For more information about SARnet, you may go to www.sarnetfl.com, and SARnetFL is spelled S-A-R-N-E-T-F-L. I'll repeat that. For more information about SARnet, you may go to www.sarnetfl.com, And Sarnet FL is spelled S-A-R-N-E-T-F-L. Spotlight on Vermont Emergency Management RACES Program. Vermont Emergency Management, or VEM, RACES. The VEM RACES program works to establish a comprehensive emergency communications network using the talents of the state's amateur community. The primary mission of the program is to provide health and welfare and emergency communications during disasters or significant failures of telecommunication systems. The VEM's website reports enhancements to the VEM RACES system that continue to strengthen its mission and capabilities to provide registered operators and multiple modes of communications to the areas the agency serves. In accordance with this mission, its RACES membership has increased to over 200 registered operators. Currently, VEM has also established 40 fixed RACES stations around the state and the capability of deploying 15 mobile command center stations throughout the state. These stations are installed at the Vermont Emergency Management State EOC, 16 Vermont hospital-based EOCs, 11 Department of Health offices, Vermont Army National Guard Joint Operations Center, National Weather Service in Burlington, 14 VEM RACES CERT trailers, VEM RACES Mobile Communications Trailer, Vermont Agency of Transportation Operations Center, and 10 district offices. VEM RACES communication capabilities are additionally expanding to utilize PACDOR 3 digital communications technology, providing HF-based email and internet capacity between emergency centers within Vermont and New England. The program's developers and administrators have published an array of excellent informational and training guides for current and potential participants and beneficiary agencies. It's time once again for a station break. Stay tuned. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for November 15, 2017. Case Study, ARIES-MAT Mutual Assistance Planning at its Best in Oregon. Wednesday, July 12th, saw firefighters deployed into southwest Oregon's Calmeopsis Wilderness to put out a small half-acre wildfire. The problem was that it was on a steep slope, and flames were carted downhill by falling logs and brush to the Chetco River. It was just the beginning of the Chetco Bar Fire that ended up as a conflagration that consumed almost 200,000 acres, six houses, forced thousands to evacuate homes, and put communities from Brookings to Cave Junction at severe risk. Aries RACES leadership and members prepared to deploy and serve as emergency response communicators under incident command and to possibly invoke established mutual assistance agreements and protocols, an investment that helps a county, district, and section's area resources match the expanding needs of served agencies in the face of a growing disaster situation. As the fire emergency grew, Oregon Aries District 5 Emergency Coordinator Dan Bissell, W7WVF, reported a depth of response capability, but also planned for a possible mutual assistance need and call-up. Curry County Aries RACES had made a great effort to upgrade equipment, training, and organizational response for Operation Triton 32, which is a full-scale, three-day disaster response exercise that ultimately involved hundreds of personnel from more than 40 agencies to prepare and enhance response capability for local, county, state, and federal agencies in the event of an earthquake along the Cascadia subduction zone. DEC Bissell said the county, Oregon's southernmost county, should be able to make an effective first response. But next, there are half a dozen Aries RACES members in the Port Orford area with portable HF, VHF, and UHF phone and digital capability who can serve as a second shift for relief for the first group. Mr. Bissell continued by saying the EC there has kept them in the loop, and they are prepared to respond. if repeaters went down, there is a long-standing relationship with Josephine County Aries Races, with the effect that they would provide mutual assistance and respond with their three portable repeaters as needed. Coos County Emergency Management consistently supports its Aries Races group and communications trailer deploying into adjacent counties as needed. The two county groups know each other and have worked together in exercises. Curry County also has mutual support agreements with Del Norte and Humboldt counties south of the border in Northern California. They share repeaters and participate in each other's monthly training. If greater mutual assistance was needed beyond the capability described above, DEC Bissell reported that they were prepared to first call up Douglas and Jackson counties' organizations for more help, and then, if even more resources were needed, they would have to go to the ARRL Oregon section for them. This would be an indicator that the situation would have become immense. The U.S. Forestry Service was the lead agency in the Unified Command, and the entire operation was to be managed under the Incident Command System. Ultimately, no Aries or Aries Races operators were deployed. With the rapidly expanding fire and response, the U.S. Forest Service's ICS sign-in unit was overwhelmed and was unable to process them. Aries continued on standby for a few weeks, but were never activated. Mr. Bissell said, "But the takeaway was, this was a case in point in knowing and respecting one another's county emergency managers and Aries Races leaders and members before an incident is critical. The emergency managers and ECs and the U.S. Forestry Communications official have all worked together before. So when the request for radio operators went to the county emergency managers and from the emergency managers to the ECs, response was quick and positive. Oregon Aries respects its Races relationship with the county emergency managers. Aries does not self-activate, but is activated by the county emergency managers. This works well, provides for insurance coverage, and assures that the counties know where their resources are. The emergency managers are comfortable with receiving and sending Aries operators across county lines and were aware of AriesMAT plans in this event." Mr. Bissell added, "This level of cooperation is built over time. District 5 has a weekly HFNet and periodic all-day district meetings. People all know each other, share successes and failures, share contact information, agree on phone and P2P Winlink frequencies for intercounty communications, etc. Instinctively, the response is to work together." ARRL Oregon Section Manager John Kaur, KX7YT, added, "Our DECs and state Aries personnel work with the county emergency managers during these AriesMAT events. Concurrence between the county managers involved is needed before the Aries teams get deployed across a jurisdiction." It's time once again to take a short break for a few seconds. Please stand by. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for November 15th, 2017. Hi, we're back with MESH Training Held in Utah, focuses on emergency and disaster communications. A MESH training seminar was held on Saturday, October 28th at the Miller Public Safety and Education Building in Sandy, Utah. It was conducted by MESH pioneer David Bauman, KF7MCF. Amateur Radio Mesh is an over-the-air computer network of nodes with broadband capabilities conducted on the amateur microwave bands for high-speed networking in various modes, television, imaging, text, and others. Session 1 covered basic mesh, what it is, how it works, and what it can do. Session 2 addressed advanced mesh, how to make AREDN work in the real world, and the three issues that AREDN has that will bring the network to a screeching halt, and how to solve or get around them. Session 3 covered tools and programs to help set up and run Mesh, the three-step method to make sure a link will work, and what you can do in the Mesh pipeline. A Mesh equipment show-and-tell was presented with examples of hardware and also hardware available to be purchased on-site. Mr. Bauman said, "We always seem to be lucky enough to fill the room, and attendees hung around, asking questions and getting equipment. We provide Mesh GoKit starter equipment at lunch money prices along with the training. The seminar was a success. Basic GoKit equipment is now in the hands of over 100 hams in the Salt Lake Valley and surrounding areas." Mr. Bauman also reported, "Now, what we are doing is training them in the use of hardware and software that we will use in an emergency or disaster response deployment. Several Mesh training sessions have already been held, with more to come. The Mesh group is currently working on a project to link the Mayor's Office and Emergency Communications Center, or ECC, of a small city to their three fire stations, the Police Dispatch Center, and the local hospital with a high-speed digital Mesh network." Mr. Bauman added, "You might say our own private ham internet. This is the third local city that has shown interest in using Mesh, deployed by hams, to back up and augment their existing emergency communication avenues with high-speed digital capability. The group has been asked to demo the system to the city council and mayor at an upcoming meeting." Mr. Bauman said, "We will demo high-speed file transfer of messages used by the Red Cross to send well messages from shelters to a collection point, and then upload them to an HF radio system and network. We can transfer pictures and other files, along with real-time video and audio, even a repeating streaming audio or video message, to tell hams signing on how and where they are needed and what to do. VOIP and the above-mentioned capabilities are available on laptops connected to the group's network, and also available is the ability to use real, old-style telephones. Some of the city residents are much more comfortable with a simple old-style telephone with a number to call for police, fire, and the hospital, rather than a push-to-talk radio. The group's demo will show officials that they can use real-time video, pictures of damaged roads, overpasses, or buildings for the city engineer, or of injured individuals at a shelter for the hospital to assess and triage, and text messages and live audio one-to-one, one-to-all, or to just a select group, such as police, or to all fire stations, for instance. Mr. Bauman also noted, "We can show them how the Ecom Center can monitor all conversations, text messages, and file transfers, and even email inside our network and outside also, if somewhere on the network we can tap into a satellite internet link when regular internet access is down." Several hams are spearheading this effort. They are Jerry Spillman, W0HU, John Hurst, KF7NQW, Grant Gardner, KC7HOU, Robert Jelf, KG7OHV, Charles Gray, KE6QZU, Edward J. Sim, N7RTA, Brad Rupp, AC7BR, and David T. Bauman, KF7MCF. This is the same group that for years has been using high-speed digital networking to augment the packet system used by hams for the local WASATCH-100. That is arguably the toughest 100-mile race in the country. It's a foot race up and down over mountains. This is not only extremely difficult for the runners, but setting up line-of-sight radio communications in rugged mountains is very challenging. And finally, we have K1CE for a final, the first contact. Rick Palm writes, "I recently purchased a Titira model TYT-MD380 70-centimeter digital analog FM handheld radio to give DMR a try. At $89, it was certainly affordable to experiment. The radio and mode are not really intuitive to operate, and the manual, frankly, was not of much help. But the handheld came bundled with all necessary accessories, including a programming cable and software to be installed on my laptop. All I really needed was to review a couple of YouTube videos to get started. I was able to program in my local DMR repeaters. One is on the top of the 10-story hospital building where I work, and then program in the talk groups I wanted to use. It works kind of like D-Star's D-Plus reflector system, but seemed to me to be a bit more efficient to use. As with any new mode, it is always good to read the mail for a while before transmitting, and that's what I did to get the hang of the culture. That strategy worked, and I was able to seamlessly make my first contact with a ham up in Maryland on the North American Talk Group. It worked like a charm, and with the digital voice quality and quality speaker of my new radio, it sounded like the operator was sitting right next to me. While the availability of DMR is not a reason to sell your analog equipment, it is a good mode to have as another arrow in your emergency disaster response quiver. At $89, it is worth a try. Thanks, Rick, for giving us that report on your new handheld. Sounds interesting. And that concludes this edition of the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for November 15th, 2017. If you would like to hear the audio e-letter online, you can go to arrl.org/aries-e-letter-audio-version and click on the date to which you would like to listen. That information again is arrl.org/aries-e-letter-audio-version. And click on the date to which you would like to listen. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is an edited voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, please visit ARRL.org. And if you have any questions about amateur radio in general, or the ARRL, you may also write us via snail mail at ARRL, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Or you may give us a toll-free call at 1-888-277-5289. We are always happy to help answer your questions, and you need not be an ARRL member. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. And I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2017, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved. 73,